from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
6:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Gunn, Ed Norris out today. I heard Ed took off the day in advance because he thought he was going to get traded.
Did he?
Like, he didn't get traded, though.
Oh, okay.
He didn't get traded. He beat the 6 o'clock deadline, but he took off because he thought he needed the day to pack.
You know what? And I'd understand that, too, because he's got a lot of junk to pack. And yeah. that sex chest that he has, that thing's got to take a lot of time to carry.
A lot of time. Yeah. You feel me?
A lot of toys in there.
Yeah, so that's why he's off today. But he's safe. He'll be back tomorrow. He did not get traded. Ed Norris did not get traded. Lots of trade talk. We'll have all of it, all the reaction to it, and all those things as well.
Yeah, we want to hear from you GMs out there because apparently you guys know better than everyone else.
I want to say this right now, and Jeremy, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You know a man means something when he reaches to the bottom of his heart. If I'm Alejandro Kirk, you got to carry me off the field. I'm not coming off the field getting hit by the pitch in the same stadium when James McCann is still there. I'm not coming off that field. Hey, it's broke. I don't care. Get some popsicle sticks and some tape and put it back in place until this game is over.
Not me. I'm Ed on this one. I don't care that Vinny came back first. It hurts. Why am I going to be stupid and play the rest of the game? Like, my ass would be like, they're like, don't rub. I'd be like, oh, damn. Why'd you do that? I wish there was something like Corbin Burns doesn't hit anyone.
No one. He hit two people in one game.
Yeah.
He went over 540 plate appearances without hitting anybody.
That was the longest streak, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. You could see the look on his face when he hit Kirk. He was just like, come on. So, but last night's another one of those.
You think he really said come on?
No.
Okay.
I think he turned. Well, he was. I think he was really upset at himself because you don't want to put another guy on base. It was first and second at that point. Even though, you know, it does take
two outs.
It does take Kirk a little while to get around the bases. But yeah.
Both times he did it with two outs. He hasn't done it in a long time. He just so happened to do it the day after James McCann gets plunked.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's so stupid I didn't think about
it. He had two outs. You're not going to hurt me. Who's at the plate's not going to hurt me. I didn't hit your best player because, you know, we love McCann, but it's not our best player. Didn't hit your best player. Two outs, next batter's not going to hurt me. Back to the dugout. Did it twice with two outs. Coincidence? I think not.
Maybe he lost control for
I
that
think
one
not.
Day.
Okay, remember that time before last night he lost control?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
It was a while ago, man.
Was it high school?
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. You know, a homecoming game. Mm. I'm sorry, man. I'm not saying I condone it, but I understand.
I get it. Yeah, like I wasn't even thinking about that yesterday, but it's an interesting point. Like just even looking around the league, I watch so much baseball so many different broadcasts. And by the way, one of the things I noticed last night, just flipping through the channels, the Red Sox color commentary is some of the best in baseball. And it's so fun. It's so refreshing to hear a guy just call it like it is. Like, you know, a Red Sox player went around on a swing, and he's like, yeah, he did go around. It sucks, but he went around. And then play-by-play doesn't even say anything, doesn't even acknowledge it. And then he just keeps going back to it. Well, he clearly went around. I think it's refreshing to hear some honest people in other markets. You do get a lot of homerism, where it's like, you know, broadcasters rooting in the booth, which I don't mind. But they're all, like, I just like it, call it like you see it. No different shades of gray or whatever.
You throwing shade at somebody?
No.
All right. Just making sure. Making sure you weren't throwing shade at somebody.
Who, here?
Yeah.
No, never.
Oh, all right.
No, I'm just...
I thought you were calling me a homer.
No, not you. Not anybody here for that matter. Like, I'm just talking about... I listen to a lot of baseball and watch a lot of baseball on TV, and you see the different announcers, and you're watching the game like... Oh, I think he was safe. And you're like, what the hell are you watching? Like,
yeah, he's
not, you know, safe. What I mean? Like, just, you can see he's not, he slid into his glove, you know, or anything for that matter. It's just refreshing to hear people that see the game, call it, doesn't matter if it's against your players or for it.
How much of this rugby are you watching?
I'm in love with that woman.
These girls are like, they could party with you.
I want to have her children. That's what I want to have.
They look like they could party with you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Did you realize that her name's Ilona, by the way?
Is it
not
Ilona?
It's Ilona, not Iona.
Okay.
Her sister, Rob, I don't know if you are going to know this, but the term girl dinner, her sister created that.
Really?
Yeah, randomly. Like, she went viral on TikTok for the term girl dinner.
Oh, really?
Girl dinner.
And I was like, that's so random. And she's like, no, there's a New York Times article about girl dinner, and it's her sister that created that.
Well, there was another video of her yesterday, and she apologized because she was crying during the video, just talking about her body, like how women that look like her, people are always wanting to take shots at you on social media. They always want to put you down for some reason.
Yes, people are unhappy with themselves.
Yeah.
What's a good girl dinner?
You know? So I was thinking about this last night trying to go to sleep. My mom would do this thing when I was growing up where she would get a bag of edamame.
Okay.
And then steam that and just put some olive oil and sea salt on it and just eat that for dinner.
Really?
That's definitely a girl dinner.
Oh, now I get what it is.
That's definitely
like
a girl
popcorn
dinner.
And hummus. That was another thing my mom would do.
Oh, being married to a nurse that works overnights. My wife has like some of the weirdest girl dinners that you could ever possibly imagine.
It's like, that's not dinner. What are you talking about?
My daughter does guacamole and pita chips.
That's a girl dinner. That's all you're gonna have. Yep, I'm gonna have a seltzer water.
And that's her daughter. I mean, that's her sister.
That's her sister.
That's crazy. And she'll wash it down with man, I forget the name of those seltzer waters. It's a flavored seltzer.
Like, Truly. Or
like non-alcoholic or alcoholic?
Yeah, non-alcoholic. It's a real skinny can.
There's the color, like Celsius or whatever. Is it a Celsius
thing? Izzy?
Yeah.
Izzy Fizzy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Stephanie. Guacamole, pita chips, and the Izzy. It's a girl dinner.
He isn't.
Dang, that's small world. Heard that her sister created that. But yeah, those rugby girls, they can party with you, man.
Oh, man.
I could hang out with them.
I'd drink out of their shoes. I don't care. Like, it's, you know what? It is funny to watch them.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like, I'm with you. I love watching them play, and I've said it before. That's one thing. That's
different levels of being attractive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's different things that make you attractive. And the athletic confidence... That's attractive.
Yeah, I said something to my wife the other day. We were watching TV, and she's watching Why Women Kill or something. I've never heard of this show.
Well, you better watch out.
Yeah.
You better watch your back.
What the hell? But Alexandria Daddario is in it, and I'm like, oh, that's my girl. And I'm like, oh, I just said that to my wife. And I'm like, let me explain what I mean. Like, everybody has their idea of, like, their epitome of, you know, that beautiful girl, that one girl. Yeah. Hell, it may have been you and Janet Jackson for all I know for all those years, because I know you had a thing for that. But anyway... You still have a thing for her, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Look at you. By the way, she had a dancer on stage, and she was groping him sexually.
With a
hand all over the crotch.
She does it a lot.
No, I just didn't know where the tryouts were. That's what I'm complaining. when was this?
What was it? Well, she did, used to do that one. Would you mind?
Oh,
hey, hello.
But
me.
You know who's in my top five that I just love? I don't necessarily agree with everything. She does. Gina Carano. I've said for years I would watch a show called Watching Gina Carano Sleep. I think that girl is just, whoo, buddy, even back when she was in the UFC. But yeah, I was telling you, too, before we step out, like, I watched Roadhouse last night, surprise, after everything was all said and done. I was in my spaceship. And there's a lot of things that I took from the movie, but I'm, like, really disappointed. I was led to believe that I would need a jump kick more when I fight in life. You realize that? Like, you ain't never thrown a jump kick in a fight. But I'm going back and watching these 80s movies. I'm like,
everybody jump kick.
Damn, man, they're in the bar and everybody's jump kicking. Look what the hell's going on.
And you can never, ever talk about the girls that I grew up loving. Can't forget my girl Kim Fields.
Oh, don't even get Tootie.
Woo, oh, now. Tootie. Ooh, living single? The living single Kim Fields was a grown woman.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about even like
I loved it when she was Tootie. I loved it when
Joe and Tootie.
We grew up together. I could listen, folks, I could love her when she was a kid because I was a kid when she was a kid.
I'd have been like, I'm in love with Joe and Tootie. What's that? Oh, I can't love Tootie? Why is that? Okay, I love Joe. Yeah, okay.
I always got the impression based on her character on the show, Joe didn't love you.
Yeah, that's
just by the role. Just by the role she played. 100%. Tell me you didn't think that too.
I was too young to realize it.
Joe may not love you. Bo got a big up for you. We'll get to him when we get back. But on the other side, Orioles take care of the Jays last night. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
Another Corbin Burns start right there. So consistent. It's so hard to hit because the ball moves so much and it's upper 90s with great curveball and changeup, and that's pretty much what he's done almost every single time out for us. He's a horse and he's a number one.
You know, we can say Corbin Burns just went Corbin Burns and just forget about the rest of the segment because that's exactly what he did last night. My goodness.
Feels like he can kind of do that whenever he wants.
Just dial it up, man. Yeah. He's Cy Young Award winning. When you heard Kevin Brown talk about his resume, was his most runs he'd given all year was 4 runs in the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you heard Kevin Brown just
and by the way, that game he went 7 innings.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong by saying right now he's the Cy Young Award winner?
Yeah. Well, you're wrong in the sense that Tarik Skubal is the favorite and he's still leading. And it's going to take it'll take a little bit. I think he can still surpass him, but there's always this thing in baseball too where I feel like writers, especially with this award and MVPs, they want to try to give it to something new or they want to do something different.
Would be the guy.
Like the perfect example is the year that Miguel Cabrera hit for the Triple Crown. The more impressive thing that year was what Mike Trout did at the plate. And I know it sounds kind of like counterintuitive going, well, he won the Triple Crown. Go back and look at the numbers. And then there's a lot of real baseball people that say he should have won that award. But it's the same thing happened with Russell Westbrook getting averaging a triple-double for a full season. Now that he's done it, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
last night, outstanding night. Anthony Santander, I think it's funny that Michael Lotz was being interviewed when Santander hit his home run, because I'm thinking to myself, is anybody going to ask what are the chances of re-signing this guy? 31 home runs on the year right now, and he had another RBI double before that in the first inning, going 2-for-3, batting average up to 246, but his OPS right now, his power number is ridiculous. 849, 72 RBI. He might hit 40 home runs with 100 RBI this year.
Very well could. And look, I know we're going to get into some of the stuff that went on with the trade deadline, but the coolest thing to see this year is seeing an owner that added payroll. And not just a little bit, quite a bit. And I know they don't have a large payroll, but I think those are signs. And the only reason I bring that up is if you do have hope that they sign Santander, that's the direction you're going in. And look, some of these trades that were talked about can still happen in the offseason. And maybe you would rather acquire a Garrett Crochet in an offseason. Or
you start him off in his innings.
Yeah, and then you figure out how you want to work it, especially if you're going to pay him. Because he really did a disservice to the White Sox, but did a service to everyone else by saying, if you're trading for me, this is what I'm going to do. Because how about if they traded him and we get to that point and it's like, it's September, and he goes, guess what, guys? I'm not available.
It's funny you say that because a friend of mine said the same thing to me 2 days ago. See, maybe he's an a-hole, but if you're the guy, if you're the team that's looking at him, don't you want to know that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the, he says, like the person that gives their car to CarMax, and then CarMax just sells you the car. And I'm not saying CarMax would do that. Mm-hmm. He said, won't you want the other owner, the original owner, to say, hey, I'm just letting you know this is what happened with the car before you buy the car. And you may still say, I'll still buy it, but at least you know what's going on from the original owner. Well, the White Sox don't have to tell you anything because Crochet told you, hey, look, dude,
yeah,
if I come there, if you don't give me extension, I'm shutting it down. And I'm not pitching in your bullpen.
I'm sorry. If I'm the White Sox, I'm angry. If I'm every other team, I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that because I don't want – like, that's something you don't want to look forward to towards the end of the year. And knowing that's something he wants, you know, so be it.
Now, I thought last night, to me, the game was already in hand. I love seeing what Sir Anthony Dominguez did in the ninth inning. That last pitch that he threw, dude, that thing, it was on the middle right side of the plate and ended up in the top box. It waved like a wiffle ball, and it was 95 miles an hour plus.
Yeah.
I he had a very impressive – I'm not saying he's your next closer, but I'm not saying he's not.
The difference in the way you and I say wiffle ball – you say woofle?
Woofle.
Woofle. Because the only reason –
like whistle.
That's why I was bringing it up. If he comes back around here, whistle.
Whistle.
What? Whistle. Woofle.
Woofle ball.
Man, there's so many things I want to say, and it's just going to lead us right into the next segment about what, you know, with Sir Anthony being here and all right. the things. Because there were so many moves made by the Orioles, and, like, it's weird. I like the fact that we have Sir Anthony and Sir Anthony on this team, because Santander should be knighted at some point from his fans in England. You know, like, it's a nice thing to see, and I really love what I've seen from him. He's the most, of all the bullpen pieces they got, and all the arms, and like the, you know, there's going to be some shuffling, guys that are going into the rotation, guys that are coming out and staying on this team and pitching in the bullpen, but I do feel like they upgraded, but it is a little weird. He's the guy that, of all those guys in the bullpen, I think I'd rather see him close than even Soto.
Really?
Yes.
All right. So now that, you know, the Orioles have done what they've done and they released my boy, your guy, your MVP.
Swervin' Cole Irvin?
They released
him. Is he still eligible for MVP after he gets released or no?
Maybe they pick him up after he clears waiver.
He's a good dude, though. Like, tell
him. When I say my boy, don't take that lightly. I love Cole Irvin.
He showed up on Vinny and Haney. Pimping Barks, trying to help people, you know, adopt some
he's
pets.
A good guy.
And then after that, it all went downhill from there.
He's a great, great dude, man.
Bob felt bad. Bob was like, I think I ruined Cole Irvin's season.
He's a great dude. If you ever met him, you feel like you're a friend for life. I mean that. But I get the move. This has nothing to do with the Orioles business. But what I was going to ask you is, now that he's been relegated to the bullpen, do you like Albert Suarez better now?
So if you look at his numbers in the bullpen, I think you have to.
Yeah.
And the other part about this is you don't have – the thing that kills him as a starter is the second and third time through the lineup. And let's be honest, he gets a little wild at times. I don't think he's nibbling. I just think that's who he is. He's got a lot of movement. And I think he throws the ball and sometimes doesn't know where it's going.
Like a woofle.
Like a woofle ball. Like I'm in the stands whistling at him. Like – Suarez.
I mean, he's got a 96 mile an hour fastball. You put him in there in the sixth inning, but the bridge to the back of the bullpen.
Rob, his numbers in the bullpen, and it's a small sample size, guys, but if you want to buy into it, they're ridiculously good, especially with the fact that as a starter, he puts guys on base. In the bullpen, it feels like, and it looks like, numbers-wise, he doesn't put guys on base.
I think he just rears back and lets it go.
And maybe that's the thing. Just throw that heat, get a little bit of movement, and see if you get him swinging.
Bo has a word for you from Baltimore. What's up, Bo?
What's up, Bo?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Jeremy. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. Morning show yesterday, 5-0, $50 parlay. Thanks to Jeremy, paid $913.
Boom.
Thank you very much. Bo. I feel like I'm getting paid to listen.
And it's the second time you hit.
Yeah.
2 times in 8 days.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
So I went.
Congrats to you, bro.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeremy, give him your cash. Yeah. Give him your Venmo. Venmo for the whites.
Yeah, Venmo's for the whites. But I got them all because I got to deal with everyone. I got them all. Is there a new one? I'm getting it. No, but like it is. So I went 4-1 in my top plays last night. And then there were some, like, you know, there's plays that I talk about that people will they'll look at the stuff that I send out to subscribers and the stuff that I talk about here. You know, there's a lot of advantages to be had in certain things. And when I get hot, I get really hot. And yesterday, 4-1, the day before, 4-1. And it's sad because my one loss last night was the Dodgers, Rob. I had the under in that game. To start off the game, top of the first, it's a 5-run inning. And you're like, well, it's under 7.5. Took a little while, but it did get over. They needed a couple of home runs late, too, and sent it to extra innings. Or it just, you know. Some things like that are going to happen, but it's hard for a guy like me to get past the one loss, even though you got the other four right, because it's like, what if I got 5 right?
It's funny you say that, though, Jeremy, because I have them both, too.
Yeah.
Orioles had a very busy day in the trade market, and I know you have a lot of opinions about some of the things that they did and some of the things they didn't do. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hats off to Mike and his group for working so hard and doing everything they could to, you know, improve our club. So we all appreciate it, and we're having a little bit different look the next couple days. But yeah, excited about our team.
That's Brandon Hyde. He got the ingredients. Let's see what he can cook up. Jeremy Kahn. Excuse me, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is out. So let's keep count. Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Pache, who is...
I said to Rob, it makes me think of Jackie Pache.
Now, who's favorite player is that now?
Melissa Kim's Pache.
We sent Austin Hayes to Philadelphia for those two guys. Zach Eflin
goes comes here for prospects.
Yeah, prospects going back. And again, the other part about this that I find so interesting is that fans know the two prospects that got traded, which you'll get to for Rodgers. But they're like, they don't know the three prospects that went back. Which organization do you trust more to figure out which players have higher ceilings? The Rays or the Marlins?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. True. Like, the prospects going back to me that the Rays got had a higher ceiling than the ones that went back for the Marlins.
Trevor Rogers comes here for Stowers and Norby.
Yeah. And look, both those guys are right now players that we like. Stowers was not getting on the field here. He wasn't. So, like, to me, I'm not saying you just give the guy away. Norby, we had questions about him, whether or not he was going to be a major league player. Does he have issues at second base? Was it nerves, you know, and some of the things that we've seen? So with those two going, and again, I've been arguing with people online about Trevor Rogers, just saying, at least see him first. Because if you guys are sitting here giving me his statistics and saying this is who he is, okay. And I was arguing with somebody that was like, well, that's all you have to go by are his stats. Okay. Do you think he's the player he was in the last 9 games or the last 2.5 years? Like, what do you think? Which player do you think he is? If it's the last 9 games, which is the most recent, he's been really good for the past 3 months. Really good. Started off with a 7-something ERA this year, but he's also coming off of an injury. So I think there is a nice upside with him. I'm not telling you got Scooble here with Rodgers. I just think you got something that's a little bit interesting that you gave up two pieces that weren't going to be here.
And you got Eloy Jimenez, and this is what they got.
Yeah, I don't get. I'm sorry. And again, I'm not saying they shouldn't have done this, but Austin Hayes, in almost every statistical category as a right-handed batter against left-handed pitching, is better than Eloy Jimenez. You got Sir Anthony Dominguez, and I think that's a great piece to get back. But, you know, so there's debates about it. I think people are looking at the wrong things here. And
can I throw something out? Yeah. There were reports that the guy from the Sun, what was his name, Joe, wrote the reports about the problems in the clubhouse. You remember his name? Kyle Goon. It's a banner, Baltimore banner, Kyle Goon. He confirmed that it was clubhouse issues. Who did he confirm that with?
Was that
Austin Hayes?
Yeah.
And Keith Law, this is Bob told me yesterday that they had Keith Law on their show on Monday or Tuesday, and Keith Law also said that he had heard something was going on with Hayes in the locker room.
See, he went to what I was alluding to.
He said the thing out loud.
Yeah. Maybe the issues in the clubhouse were with the man who confirmed there were issues in the clubhouse. Maybe.
Very well could be. Like,
because no one else is confirming this. No other player is confirming. What did Connor Norby, what was his parting shots? His parting shots weren't bad.
Mm-mm.
Nobody else had bad parting shots.
And you know what? I'm so happy for Stowers to finally get to a place where he should play almost every day. Go look at the Marlins line. The Marlins traded away a third of their roster. They had to make 7 moves before yesterday's game just to have a full roster ready for the game. And then they came out and scored 2 runs right away on the Rays. Maybe that's addition by subtraction, but yeah. Austin Hayes, you're looking at something here, too. You got something of value back in Sir Anthony Dominguez for it.
And then you get Soto, you get him for Seth Johnson. Seth Johnson really had no future here.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you're looking at a guy that was also, he was part of another trade that they made. He wasn't somebody that they drafted and was homegrown, but they were developing him here. So getting those players back. The weird thing, and this is what I wanted to bring up, is we have the Phillies bullpen that blew it last year. Kimbrel, Soto, Sir Anthony Dominguez. We have the Phillies bullpen that blew it last year. The sad part about this is it's still an upgrade from what we had.
Yeah.
Because you're going to mix in Cano. You're going to mix when Kalum comes back. And I think this bullpen is going to be really good. But the big question is, who is the guy pitching the 9th inning?
Yeah.
Is it Soto?
And that's a big question.
Is it Kimbrel? I'd almost rather see Dominguez get an opportunity.
Can't be Kimbrel. By the way, Connor Norby wrote on Twitter, many emotions right now, but thank you to Baltimore for giving me a chance to grow and show what I could do. I love the city, these fans, my teammates and coaches, and I loved every second of being an Oriole. My family and I are forever grateful, Birdland. I'm just saying, and I love Austin Hayes, but if I am at one point the future of this franchise, and then when the franchise turns and I was part of the losing and the winning, and all of a sudden now I have to get in line, I might be a little bitter. I'm human. Arthur Hayes is a human being. He may be, may have been a little bit bitter, but I still say, and I'm glad you. I didn't hear that comment on Bob Haney's show, Vivian Haney, but I'm glad somebody else said there were problems with Austin Hayes in the clubhouse. That's different from there's problems in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Those two headlines are complete. Orioles have problems in the clubhouse. Austin Hayes is having problems in the Orioles clubhouse. Those are two completely different headlines. I believe the latter.
Can I throw this in too? I know we're talking about all the trades. Last night, though, if you were watching the game, I thought it was really cool to see Viv on there making his rounds, like saying his goodbyes, getting a chance to kind of call in.
Get a home run call on radio.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. So I'm happy for him. And like for the people that don't know him as well, just one of the nicest guys in this industry, but also a baseball guy through and through. I mean, growing up in St. Louis, it's just in his blood. So I think he was even playing in some of these, like, I don't want to give away his age, but like 40 and over leagues.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so just hats off to him. So it'll be nice to hopefully see him around some more. And I don't think he lives that far from me. His kid's playing baseball, he said, over in Severna Park.
Severna Park, yeah.
Maybe he's the next Jackson Merrill.
Maybe so.
You know, so I thought that was cool last night, but there's so many different things to get into. And everybody, you know, people that were bridge experts not that long ago and vaccine experts, now everybody's a GM of a baseball team and they know what we should do. And I'm just, look, I'm kidding. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion with this. If you wanted to see them move the big pieces.
But see, there's a difference between opinion and thinking your opinion is right.
Yeah, well.
I mean, just like everybody's wrong. You give me your opinion, I give you mine, and we'll see. But you give me your opinion, I give you mine, and
you
damn your opinion. Yeah. No, it's just we give each other our opinion, but at the end of the day, we'll see that Ryan Mountcastle didn't get traded.
It is. Well, that's true too, but they also didn't make a big trade. They didn't make a huge splash. Like, I think if they would have got somebody like Blake Snell, Scoobel, Crochet, I think he would have been included in that deal.
If my aunt, no mind.
You still here? I'm not. You guys act like I hate Mountcastle.
No, you act like you hate Mountcastle.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
You guys try to play this up.
Yeah, right? you act like you hate Mountcastle. No, you don't. Not really. It's not acting.
I hate you guys.
Show was 7:15, but on the other side, want to hear your reaction to the Orioles' busy, busy trade deadline day yesterday. Give us a call, 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Want to get your takes on the Baltimore Orioles' trade deadline moves? Let's go to Benjamin in Woodlawn. What's up, Benjamin?
Hey, good morning. Y'all two with Whipple Ball sound like Scooby and Shaggy. hey, but you know what? Since yesterday, I've calmed down a lot about the trade deadline.
You were nervous.
I was nervous. But I felt like we had a black card and went to the Goodwill or Gable Brothers. But I feel better now, especially what I saw with Tanner Scott. Now, I was like, so I can't imagine what Coach Shane and Scooby was being offered for.
Yeah.
So,
well, I said this, Benjamin. You say you feel like we had a black card, and we did. But with that black card, eventually, you still got to pay.
Yeah.
You can go shopping all you want, but you got to pay the bill. And the Orioles just didn't want to have the.
And here's my. Like, I'm not mad at people that wanted to go get the big piece. But, like, my point is, I don't. Like, not all prospects are created equal, but I don't think the three prospects we're talking about.
There's nobody else like that on the market.
No, I don't. And my thing is, like, I know any one of them can miss. It can happen. The likelihood of it, and talking about their ceilings are so much different than some of the other prospects we're talking about. And the fact that two of them are at AAA and one of them's at AA, they're so close. And so the thing I would say to people, and comparatively speaking, depending on what you think Jackson Holliday could be, a Gunnar Henderson type, mm-hmm. what Kobe Mayo could be, some sort of Pete Alonso type right-handed power bat. I'm not saying he's going to hit 50 bombs or anything like that. And then looking at Basayo, who's some sort of mix between Rutschman and Will Smith, and he's a switch hitter. So if you thought you were getting any of those guys, would you trade any of them for another pitcher?
And so, basically, we ain't the same.
Yeah.
You're prospects, we're prospects, but we're not the same.
It's like, you look at what the Padres gave up for Scott. They gave up
just too much.
Three prospects, three decent, like 2, 3, and 4.
For rental. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, man. You know, I ain't tripping about the trade, man. Even though I did thought they was going to pull out a big trade, like how, you know, the Cowboys did back when they were Herschel Walker. But, you know, I guess they ain't got it in them. But I give the trade a B-. I would say. Everybody,
hold up. Let's go back for a second. Oh, Rashawn, you can't drop a comparison like that and not give the history of it. The Cowboys got draft picks by getting Herschel Walker. The Orioles didn't need to get draft picks. The Cowboys had no draft picks. They needed them. So they got Herschel Walker. Look at all the draft picks that came from Herschel Walker. That's a bad comparison. You're talking about people. They didn't even get people. Yeah. They got trade picks.
We were trying to get Ricky Williams an address.
Exactly. So, but no, I'm sorry,
but
go ahead.
They fleeced the team. I ain't saying about the picks. I'm saying how they fleeced the team. The Cowboys fleeced them. I thought the Orioles was going to fleece another team.
Okay.
You know, but I said they might not be, you know, as sharp as other GMs.
Oh, man.
But that's a different story. Now, listen, let me get back on topic. But, yeah, I give it a
please
B.
Do. Can we give it a what?
Give it a B minus, right? Everybody tripping about Norby and, you know, well, not Stiles, but Norby. He had no place here. You already know Jackson Holliday was the future second baseman. And we got that pitcher. We got a big lefty from down in Miami. And we got the guy, the outfielder, right? That can play DH. He's a power right hander.
Eloy Jimenez.
By the way, that's all he should be playing is DH.
Yeah.
Don't bring your glove, Eloy.
Right, we can put him in the lineup whenever we got a lefty in there, because you know O'Hearn not that good as lefties, as we seen last night. You know, so whenever O'Hearn in the lineup, you can DH that guy. And also, how would y'all would have felt if we'd have made that same trade, Norby and Stiles, and got Jake instead?
Got Jake?
Flaherty, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Jack Flaherty.
My bad, Jack.
Yeah, no, yeah, look, you'd have felt great about that, but the Dodgers also gave up a pretty big prospect to get him. That was the biggest move yesterday besides the Tanner Scott move.
And don't forget the back issues
with
Jack Flaherty.
So the Yankees kind of bowed out because they didn't trust the medicals with his back issue. You know, he's had that hiccup this year, now making his way back. But, you know, like, I guess my issue is when people start looking, I was arguing with some guy that was saying the Orioles aren't better today. And I'm like, how are they not better today? Like they're getting better with some of the pieces they're moving out.
And Jeremy, there's a reason that 3 weeks ago I guaranteed you that Jack Flaherty wouldn't be traded back to the Orioles. There's a reason.
Yep.
He wasn't coming here. Dave on the Beltway. What's up, Dave?
Good morning. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
Good, good. I think the Orioles did pretty much what I expected them to do. They got some what I want to call middle-of-the-road guys. They didn't go after any really big guys, but they got some good players back. I was not really enthusiastic about Crochet, particularly after what he did. And Scuba was just too much expensive. I'm not giving out the rumors I heard where they wanted Holliday and Kerstad. I'm not giving up those two guys for that guy. No way.
I heard they wanted three.
Yeah, they wanted three guys. Holliday, Kerstad. Two of the top prospects and Kerstad.
Yeah, and like, you know.
Kerstad is... Stop prospect.
And here's the thing, like the other thing you can think about, and I know people are like, oh, great, you're going to have the greatest farm system for all these years, but that's how you stay relevant in this division, is making sure you're developing. Now, you trade those pieces when you have the chance, but the one thing everybody kept saying about the Orioles coming into next year is they didn't have enough starting pitching under contract, you know, not knowing what happens with Burns. They made a trade for two guys, one they're going to have for two more years, one they're going to have one. And the thing that I love about it, for no matter what people think about Stowers and Norby, they were blocked here.
Yeah.
They were blocked here. Yeah. Holliday was coming up to take second base. That was paramount. It was going to happen.
Kerstad was coming up to take it on the outfield position.
Yeah.
Let's go, Tom and Rising Sun. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm kind of with Rashawn. I'll give him a B. They did okay. I'm still worried about a dominant closer. I hope that doesn't bite us in the butt.
That's my only concern right now is that, Tom, that dominant closer. That's my major concern.
Yeah, and that's why I'll give him a B. I mean, they did make moves to make our bullpen stronger. I'll give them that. I'm going to miss Norby, though, man. I would love to see him. And I know you can't keep everybody.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Like, even me, I'm sitting here saying, man, I don't want to trade Mayo. I don't want to trade Basayo. I don't want to trade Holliday. And I'm going, but we're not going to be able to keep everyone. So if they did decide to go that route and move one, I'm listing. I don't know which one they would want to move over the other three. I think it's a very difficult thing to look at. But
meanwhile, man, what did you say? The owners did what on the trade deadline?
Oh, they added on some payroll.
We got to stop spending that money.
Yeah.
We keep saying what we're not going to do because of finances. We've already did something that we don't normally do with because of finances. We got to stop trying to speculate what this ownership group is going to do, because we don't know. What we do know is they took on payroll
at
the trade deadline. They took on payroll at the beginning of the season by getting a first-of-the-line starter. Then they took on payroll again by getting Zach Eflin. Then they took on payroll again last night.
Yeah, somebody asked me how I felt about the Trevor Rogers deal, and I said, look, I understand you know the two prospects you gave up. We've been saying their names for years, and we all wanted to see Stowers get a shot here. But the thing I kept going back to when we were talking about this trade and what the Orioles should or shouldn't do is they got better. That window is still open. They gave up none of their big prospects. And I know it's not what people wanted. They wanted Scooble, but I'm sorry that the asking price for that guy, and you know who ruined this was the Padres they traded for Juan Soto.
They really reached. Hey, we're going to keep this going. Elon Parkville, Kevin in Ellicott City, hold tight. But we also want to look at the Orioles trades. We want to take a look around the league also, talk about some of the other trades that took on in baseball, and also hear from Eli and Kevin. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.